this morning to take your Bible, please, and turn with me again to the book of Hebrews and the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. This morning we want to bring to a conclusion our study on the theme of faith. And we're going to be considering Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 down through verse 3 this morning. So far in our study, we have taken the time to give a concise definition of faith that is found in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we have seen through the vast majority of the book of chapter 11 was the clear demonstrations of faith. We have looked at the life of Abel, life of Abraham, the life of Moses and others, and we have seen through their lives what it means to walk and to live by faith. And we have taken the time to define those. And then last week, we considered the courageous determination of faith. And we have now want to wrap all things up, and I've entitled this morning the closing deliberation of faith. I want you to follow along as I read verse 1 down through verse 3, and then we're going to pause and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and study of His Word this morning. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come to the study of thy word. We thank you, Lord, for this theme of faith that we have been considering through the book of Hebrews and mainly chapter 11. We thank you, Lord, for the examples that have been recorded for us, that we can follow their example and live in a way that is pleasing unto you. Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, Lord, I pray today that as we conclude our thoughts, as we give these final considerations to a life of faith, that you would impress upon our hearts the need for each and every one to make the commitment, to make that determination that we will walk and live by faith. So, Lord, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time and study. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the past several months, we have taken the time to seek a greater understanding of faith. Many times in the scriptures, the writers use metaphors which help us to understand how we can relate the Christian experiences of our lives to that which we see and that which we know within the physical world. One such metaphor that is often used in the scripture is that of a race. We are in a race, so to speak, as Christians, and we are to run that race well, that we are to run that we might obtain the prize, that we might be victors in the race. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, a passage of our special focus this year, reminds us that we are to be ever pressing on with our eyes fixed upon the prize. We are to be ever seeking to win the race. We are to run, not looking back, but looking ahead for what the Lord has in store. We are to run this race, and we are to do it by faith. As we have examined the theme of faith, I trust you've gained a deeper understanding of what faith is. But that is not the end. It's not just that you and I would have the acquisition of knowledge. That is not the end of Bible study. And as in any study of any theme within the Bible, it is not God's design that we simply acquire knowledge. God desires more than we acquiring the knowledge. His end is wisdom. His end is that we will learn to apply that knowledge. So as we come to Hebrews chapter 12, in these first three verses, that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is doing. He is coming off this chapter where he has given to us these great examples of faith, that he has given us this exhortation to be courageous, to determine, to live by faith. Now he applies it and helps us to see how we can run this race with patience and how we can run faithfully, completing our course. In light of the lessons of Hebrews 11, we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and we are given the exhortation to run in faith, to walk and live by faith. Look again at verse 1, if you would. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now here's the exhortation. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The writer of Hebrews desires that you and I, after having seen the examples, would follow that example. And he gives to us this exhortation, with patience, run the race that God's placed before you. To each and every one of us, God has given a race. He has given something that we are to do. There is a plan and a purpose for your life. You exist for a reason and a cause. And God would have you to run your race with patience. He has set it before you. Now by faith, run the race. There are two main thoughts that I want us to consider this morning in relation to this running of the race, this walking by faith. Number one, I want you to understand that this running of the race, this life of faith, this walk of faith is to be active. This walk of faith is to be active. The challenge that the author gives is phrased in a way that we are familiar with in the rest of his book. If you understand the book of Hebrews, you're going to realize, or you would have heard several times that phrase, let us. Let us. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 1, he gives really the theme of the entire book when he says, let us go on unto perfection. He desires that we would choose to go on. Let us go on to perfection. He is exhorting us with a way of life, and it is an active way. And here he says to us, let us run with patience. That phrase is written in its original languages in the present active tense. When you find something written in the present active tense, it means that we are to be actively involved. Daily involved. It is to be a continual action. And it is to be taking place in your life. You are to be continually running the race. Day by day, walking and living by faith. There's no let up in that exhortation. There's no quitting. There's no sitting. There's no taking a break from those things. God would have you and I walk and live by faith. We are to actively pursue completing the course that God has laid before you. In light of what we have learned, in light of the lessons and the exhortations, the writer says, actively pursue the course. Run your race with patience by faith. God would have each and every one of us to actively run and live by faith. We've taken the time to study faith. We've given its definitions and we've seen its exhortations. So can I ask you this morning, is your life actively engaged in a life of faith? Are you walking and running and living by faith? That's our exhortation to do so. That's where the acquisition of knowledge has to turn into the application of the knowledge. It's not that we just understand, yes, I am to walk by faith, I am to live by faith, okay, faith, I have a definition, and there was Abel, and there was Abraham, and there was Moses, and don't forget some of the other ones that are mentioned there, and that's really good. That was a neat study. God wants you and I to actively live by faith. Run your race by faith. That's for all of us. That's for me as the pastor. That's for you as the member. That's for you who are here today who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not members of our church. It really doesn't matter. The reality is, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've been saved by faith, you now must walk and run and live by faith. Actively. Day by day, you're to live by faith. Number two, I want you to understand that our walk is to be abiding. It's not only active, but it is to be abiding. In verse 1, we are to run that race with patience. We are to run that race with patience. The word means to endure, to persevere in the race. If you were with us for Sunday school this morning, you heard me say that there are two words in the New Testament that are very similar. There is the word patience, and we looked at the word this morning, long-suffering. If you weren't here this morning, let me just quickly define for you the difference between the two, because they really mean the same thing, which is to endure. But patience speaks of an endurance in the midst of difficult circumstances. We are to run the race, and as you run a race, at times there are places along in that race that you're going to grow tired, you're going to grow weary, the muscles are just going to hurt, and you're going to want to quit, but you are to endure the hardness, to endure the difficulties that come with patience. Long-suffering has to deal with more of the endurance with those who are difficult, the people involved. There are those who will just rub you the wrong way. Every time you seem to be getting on your feet spiritually, they're right there to seem to want to pull you down. Every time you do something good, they can't have a nice word to say. They always have to offer you the criticism. Do you know what by the way, you did really well, but let me tell you what you did wrong. Thanks a lot. We're supposed to be long-suffering with them. In all of those things, we are to be patient, and our faith is to be abiding. All of us who seek to live that life of faith and to run our race are going to want to quit. It's going to happen. And the Christian life is a long race. It is not a short spurt. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It takes endurance. And what we find within the realms of Christianity today are many who are willing to get off to the good start, and they run hard for a little while. Woo, I'm tired. Let someone else run. Folks, this is not a race that you run and hand the baton to someone else, and then they run for a little bit, and you go sit down, and you hope they win. You are to be actively involved and running day by day that you might reach the finish line. You are to be pressing on with your eye upon the prize, seeking that you might obtain the crown. God wants our faith to be active, and He wants it to be abiding. God wants us to endure. We are to walk and walk in an abiding faith. We need to persevere. Your faith will be tested, but actively endure. The writer here in this passage, though, gives to us another consideration. In this consideration, he gives us some examinations that we can use to help determine or to help us in walking and continuing by faith and running this race with patience. There are considerations to be taken into account. Again, we said that there is a need for patience. And one of the greatest tools that the devil uses against believers today is the tool of discouragement. We said it last week, and I'll echo it again. It seems to me that that tool of discouragement is sweeping through the ranks of Christianity, and in many ways is affecting more than anyone else those who are involved in leadership. And all of us can succumb to the temptation of discouragement. None of us are beyond that. So how can we ensure that we'll be able to keep running our race with patience? How can we stay active and to be abiding for the long term? Here's the examinations that are given to us. Here are the encouragements that we have if we would but take our time to look and to consider. First of all, we are told to consider or examine the past witnesses. Look again at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's how we could read that. The writer wants us to consider those who have gone before. He is writing this exhortation in light of the examples that he has just given. He is writing to Jews that were struggling because of the difficulties of the circumstance. They were considering quitting. They were considering going back. Let's give up on this newfound Christianity, even though we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he died. It's just too hard to live for him. It's too hard to walk by faith. Let's give up on those things. And he gives to them the examples of men like Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Moses. They lived by faith. So now you can run your race if you will examine their example. Consider how they ran. Look at their life and see their example. He's encouraging us to look back. I want to be careful here because some come to chapter 12 and come to a wrong conclusion, a mistaken conclusion. Some read verse 12 saying, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses. And they interpret that word witnesses as the idea of a spectator. Someone who is watching as you run the race. So some come to this and say, well, isn't it great to know that all the saints of heaven are watching you as you run your race today? That's really not the meaning of this passage. It's not that they are spectators observing or watching. The Greek word witness is the word that we get our English word martyr from. In fact, that same word is translated in the book of Acts as it speaks of Stephen, who became the first martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness of him. The idea of that term witness is one that has come before us. They have borne witness of God by their lives of faith, and they have set before us an example. I can open my Bible and I can begin to read of those who have walked and lived by faith. From cover to cover, I can find them. I can go throughout my New Testament, and I can see the example of the apostles and a man like Paul. And I can see his example as it's been laid before me. I come to 2 Timothy 4 and I can hear him say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge will give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. I can see that example. And my heart can be encouraged by that, and I can continue to run my race and not quit and not falter. I can go back and I can see the life of Abraham, and I can see what God has done. I can study David's life and Samuel's life, and I can learn even through the period of the judges. I can come and see the beautiful example through the life of Ruth and the story of God's redemption and all the things that I can learn as she walked and lived by faith. I can be encouraged in my own walk. I am to consider them. Beyond that, consider those whom you know. There were once people that sit in the pews that are before us, who have gone before us into heaven. You can remember their example. It might have been that there was a man that was once here that used to come to you, sir, and they would come and they would be that encouragement to you, an example, and they put their arm around you and say, "Hey, how you doing this week in the Lord? Are you walking by faith?" You can look back and you can see the hardships of their life, but yet through it all, they were faithful unto God. We can begin to name some of those people. You can go back through church history and you can see the examples of those that were willing to give their life and give their all for God. Men like Jim Elliot and Adoniram Judson, men like Charles Spurgeon and others that gave all for the Lord, counted everything else but loss that they might win Christ. There are past witnesses for us to consider, and we should. As we run our race, the devil wants to come and he wants to discourage you. He wants to keep you. He wants to stop you. He wants to slow you down. Consider the past witnesses. What a blessing it is for us to be examining the lives of those that have gone before us. But he also speaks to yet another examination when he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." We're to examine our own present walk. Folks, you and I need to consider our present walk. How am I living today? In light of what I've been taught, and in light of what the Scripture has showed me, in light of my understanding of a life of faith, in light of those examples that have been laid before us, how am I walking today? Am I today walking and living by faith? Am I running with patience the race that is set before me? Or have I been slowed down in my race? Have I stopped in my race? Am I running today? Am I active? Is my faith abiding? You know, those who run in marathons enjoy such runs. And as they prepare, and as they run, so Brother Herbster tells me, they do things like keep track of their times, because it helps them to prepare for the race. And when they actually run in the marathon, they're not running against everybody else. They're really running against themselves. They have a time that they want to beat. They want to set their personal best. And if they happen to beat everyone else, that's great. But really, they are consumed with beating their best time. They're examining their life and their run, their technique, their endurance. They train that way. In the Christian life, you and I are to be examining our own walk. And the writer says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Those things that would slow us down. And let us lay aside every sin that stops us. You and I are to be examining our own personal walk. And as we do that, we are to consider those things that slow us down. Are there any weights that slow me down in my race of faith? Again, a weight that we find here is anything that impedes our progress and keeps us from being able to run effectively. These things in and of themselves are not evil, but they're weights which hinder us. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, Paul said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." If you're training to run a race, is it legitimate for you to have a steak and potato with a nice salad on the side? Sure. But you're not going to want to eat that, will you, right before the race? "Well, that's going to give me all the energy that I need. That's going to hold you down. And you're probably going to get sick along the way." There are some things that we choose to lay aside. They're weights
They impede us. They don't allow us to really run as we should. You know, in your Christian life, there are some things that for you are weights. Well, how come so-and-so doesn't have to give it up? Because for them it's not a weight. But for you it is. There are some that, in all honesty, any form of entertainment is a weight. Because it keeps them from their time with God. It keeps them from prayer. It keeps them from service. Well, I can't go to church tonight because my favorite program comes on, and that's right in the middle of prayer time, and I can't miss. If you can't miss, you need to not watch. Because it's just entertainment. Some people, technology is a wonderful tool. And for others, it becomes a weight. It just kind of makes everything difficult, and that's all we can ever focus on. Those things need to be laid aside. For some, the reality is your career becomes a weight in serving Jesus Christ. I've been blessed with an example by several men that I've known in my life that will offer promotions and turn them down. Actually took them and went back and said to their bosses, you know what, this isn't for me, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm never in church. I'm telling my kids to go to church, but I never show up because I'm always working for you. You know what? The pay is good, and we could do a whole lot more with the money, but the money isn't worth it because my family needs me, and my family needs to serve Jesus Christ, and I want to set the example. That job was a weight. Oh, but he's foolish. He could have a greater retirement. What's he going to use his retirement for? Self or service? There are some things that for us become weights. They're not evil in and of themselves, but they slow us down from doing what God wants us to do and living by that faith. There are also sins. And so we need to ask, are there any sins that stop us in the race of faith? These are those evils which obstruct us in the race of faith. You and I cannot be pleasing to God and yet be walking in sin. So we have to examine our own lives and see, is there any sin that's stopping me from running the race of faith? If so, they need to be put out once and for all. Then the author gives to us a final examination. And this by far is the most helpful, the most important, and the most powerful. Look at verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We are to examine the person of Jesus Christ. Now, you and I are called to follow his example. It's his life that you and I are to be conformed unto. And so the writer reminds us to consider him, to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to examine him. And as we do, there's two things that are going to stand out to us to help us in our walk. Number one, we should examine and consider his position. We are called upon to look unto Jesus and to see him for who he is. The implication of the word look is that we look away from all else and we set our eyes fully on him and him alone. We are to be looking unto Jesus. We sing a song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And when our eyes are turned upon Jesus, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What are you looking to today? Are you looking to the world? Are you looking to the circumstances? Are you looking to all that it has to offer? Are you looking at that which is eternal or earthly? Are your priorities, as we talked about Wednesday night, set on the things above or that of the things of the earth? We're to be looking unto Jesus. Our eyes
eyes are to be fixed on Him. We are to turn and to see Him for who He is. And we're reminded who He is. He is the author or the initiator of your faith. You know what that means? It's because of Him you were saved. It wasn't because of you. It's not because you were worthy of salvation. It's not because you were such a great and lovely person. You were a terrible, rotten sinner. And your sin separated you from God. He hates sin. He is so holy that He cannot even look upon iniquity. Yet He, in love, initiated salvation. He came of His own free will. He shed His blood. He died. He rose again of His own power, that you and I can have eternal life. Now look unto Him, the author, the initiator of your faith. Keep your eyes on Him. In this race, keep your eyes on Him. He is also the finisher. That word means the perfecter of your faith. Our faith is perfected as we follow His example, as we draw nigh unto Him, as we see Him fully, as we understand Him, as we take and appropriate His life into our life, and we're able to say like the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the life of faith that we need to get to. It comes as we examine Him and we look to Him and His position. Have you considered Him lately? Have you considered what He has done for you? We also see His passion. We see His passion. We ought to examine His passion for us. That's really seen really at the end, middle of verse 2 down through verse 3. He who is the author and finisher of our faith, notice the words, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down on the right hand of the throne of God, for consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, that ye be not wearied in your own minds. You see His passion there? It is He who endured the cross. He endured the contradiction of sinners. That idea there is, He as the very God of all heaven, the creator of all things, the giver of life, endured those that rebelled against Him. Consider that the creation crucified the Creator. And He endured through their rebellion. Why? Because He loved you. He cared about you. So much so that it says He despised the shame. There is no greater shame than the shame of the cross. And the idea of that term to despise literally means to look down upon. He despised it. He wasn't concerned about any shame that He would have to endure. Because He loved you. In verse 2, there's an interesting word. Sometimes we skip right over it and don't understand its meaning. It says, who for the joy that was set before Him. That little word for is a word that may be better translated instead of. Who instead of the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Pick up the meaning. What's the joy that was set before Him? It wasn't the cross. It was the glories of heaven. Those were His. He is the very God of heaven, the Holy One, for whom the angels stand and sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The glory of heaven was His. That's why Paul again would say in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men.
He forsook the glory of heaven that he might come to this earth, be made a man, and die for us. Consider that love. Consider that passion. Consider that as you're in the midst of your race and you want to quit, remember his passion for you. He left the joy of heaven. He came and he died for you and me. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved, when you and I feel that our faith is weak, when you feel as if you just can't continue in the race, examine the Lord Jesus Christ and consider his love for you. When you feel as though the race is too hard and that it's just no longer able for you to bear up under all the trials and the testings, consider those that have gone before you. Consider their lives and see their example. When you and I begin to think that there is no way that we can run, that we're just slowing down. In fact, it'd be better for us simply to stop. Maybe we ought to examine our own hearts and lives and see what it is that's impeding us or keeping us from the race. When we feel all alone and as if it's simply not worth it anymore, remember there is one who loves you. There are those who have gone before you. And there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. And because of his faithfulness, his mercies are new every morning. Therefore, we are not consumed. When we're weary, we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint, as our eyes are ever fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Folks, we have learned what it means to have faith. Now, run the race with patience. Run in faith. Actively pursue day by day. Abide. Remain. Be faithful. Don't quit. And when you feel like I just can't do it anymore, examine those that have gone before. Examine your own life and your own soul and see what the problem might be. And then come and look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Gaze upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I guarantee you the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray.